724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
And we showed up early.
Hey, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. Friday, thank goodness, at last, huh? Hey, we have a good program for you today. We're going to be talking with some folks from the Butler County Farm Bureau in just a few seconds. Later on the program today, Sandy Eilenfeld will be here. She's the executive director of the Butler County Family YMCA. We'll find out what's happening at the Y, and she'll also have information on the Good Friday breakfast, which they have been doing for, as long as I can remember, decades and decades at the Y. And that will, of course, be a week from today. Next Friday is Good Friday. Well, let's say hello to our first guests with us here in the studio. William Teeley is here. William, good to see you again. Nice to have you back with us.
Yeah, good to see you again.
And also here is Guy Dobenspeck, who's a farmer from Conoquinessing Township. Guy, nice to have you here as well.
We thank you. Glad to be here.
The occasion is the upcoming Rural Roads Safety Week, and that's next week, William.
Yep, next week.
Mm-hmm. You've celebrated this before in the Butler County Farm Bureau. What is Rural Roads Safety Week all about?
Well, it is a week since it is spring planting time, and a lot of farmers will be on the road this week and next week. So we want to tell drivers that there will be farm equipment on the road, and they're not exactly making farm equipment any smaller. So we want to tell all the drivers to be aware of farm equipment that will be going up and down the road, because now this time of year there's going to be a lot of traffic on the road because of spring planting time.
Mm-hmm. So just be careful. Be aware of that. If you're driving especially on a country road, a rural road, you're almost certainly going to bump into it, Guy.
More likely, yeah. More likely you'll see equipment. As William said, nothing is getting smaller. It seems like machinery is geared for bigger and bigger fields and bigger farms, and we are, whether we want to or not, getting wider and sometimes longer. And watch out for that red and orange sign with a red border on it. We know as the fanny flag in the in the agricultural business, we call that an SMV emblem, slow moving vehicle emblem, and kind of keep an eye on that. We as farmers are tasked with putting that sign on the rearmost vehicle that we are towing. If we're towing two or three pieces of tillage equipment or two or three pieces of harvest equipment, we will have one of those signs on the back of the machine, and that denotes that we are not moving at the speed limit.
It's a triangular-shaped sign.
Exactly.
A triangle outlined in red, pretty easily recognizable. I see on the poster that you have here, there's also a stylistic tractor on there. Is that pretty common, too?
Well, that tractor is just on that sign.
Oh, okay.
Actually, the true SMV emblem is orange in the center and red border.
So look for the triangle, the orange triangle or the red border.
Yes.
And this is important because if you're coming up behind a piece of farm equipment, especially if you come around a curve or something like that and you see them up ahead of them, you may not realize how much slower they're moving than you, right, William?
Exactly, yeah, because farm equipment at the top speed is going to go 20 mile an hour. Now, that's really slow whenever the speed limit is, say, 55.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that a lot of farm equipment, I know a lot of ours does, has four-way flashers on, and that helps a lot too, but also an SMV sign, because a lot of times you don't see those flashers because you might be in a, for instance, if you're in a combine, which is a much bigger piece of equipment, the flasher is going to be higher on it, therefore an SMV sign, since it, a lot of those SMV signs have reflective tape on them. So if you shine a headlight on it, mm-hmm. it will be easily visible and it will catch your attention in order for you to slow down in time.
The flashing lights might not be visible if they're behind a big hay wagon or
right.
something like that, too. They
right.
might be blocked out. That's why, as you were saying, Guy, you put this triangle warning sign on the rear of the last vehicle.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. We might add, too, that we are tasked as farmers to have those on our vehicles. One of my pet peeves is seeing them at the end of a driveway to mark culverts and that kind of thing, because they are actually, if you really want to get deep into state law, they are not to be used for that kind of job. They are to be used on slow-moving equipment. And it's not always all farm equipment either. You'll see utility companies on like backhoes and that kind of thing, they'll use them. But actually using them in a place where they are standing still, like a culvert, is actually not according to vehicle code. We are the idea is that when people look at that, they associate that with something moving, not something standing still.
I agree with you. That's a very important distinction to make, and I've seen those used to mark mm-hmm. driveways. Hey. Use a red reflector or something like that if you have to mark a dangerous culvert. Yeah, excellent idea. Do any of these ever light up? Do they have any of those these days?
I've seen them, yeah. I've seen them on mm-hmm. equipment that will light.
The newer reflective tape and reflective markings, though, works very, very well. I don't know whether you've seen any of the newest, even PennDOT road signs along the road that are in this... I don't know how to describe it, canary yellow or something like
yeah.
that. I mean, it almost hurts your eyes. It's so reflective.
Right.
Yeah. Now, this is red, red and orange, not yellow. But, mm-hmm. hey, you see that triangle on a piece of equipment ahead of you? Slow down right away, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, and bear in mind, we're not out there hogging up the road to slow everybody down. We are. There's 2% of this country that is raising the food for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we are out there to produce food, keep folks fed. So we're not there. Mostly we're probably hurrying as much as you are to get a crop in or a crop harvested before it takes an ocean to rain or something else that's going to hamper our work. Generally, we try to pay as close attention as we can. We're on the road, but there's a lot to watch. When you're wide or long, you have to be aware of other vehicles, roadside obstructions such as mailboxes and signs, and nobody wants to take off a mailbox because we don't have, most of us don't have time to go put one back up, which we, most of us would do for somebody, but we just, as a general rule, we just try not to hit them in the first place.
Some people might ask why are tractors and combines and everything on the road to begin with? Well, in many cases, you can't get back to the barn just going through the fields. And in many cases, especially today, when some farmers will lease a field that's some distance away from their farm, mm-hmm. half mile, you have no choice but to get out on the road for at least a little ways. So am I right on that, William? Is that the reason generally that you're on the road to begin with?
Exactly. And, yeah, the way our topography is around here is that we are what a lot of us refer to as patch farming, where we're going miles around to get little patches of ground because there's not a whole lot. Like, we're not, our topography is not like that of Kansas or Nebraska, where mm-hmm. we have flat fields for hundreds and hundreds of acres. I mean, like, it's pretty common around here to have fields that are less than 50 acres, where, as if you told somebody out in Kansas, my biggest field is 50 acres, they'd probably laugh at you because they'd be like, well, why are you even bothering? But that's the way our topography lays around here, and we have a decent amount of population in the county, and you just, that's what you got to do. You have to go on the road to get to places, and sometimes it can be a dangerous task going down the road with a slow-moving vehicle like that.
Another reason why it's especially dangerous here in western Pennsylvania is the layout of the roads. I can remember the first time I was ever in the state of Indiana driving through the countryside, The roads are parallel. Every time you come to an intersection, it's exactly 90 degrees, perfectly square, and then you drive on to the next one, and it's the same thing. Plus, it's flat. I mean, you know, you can see for miles out there. Not so here. You go around a bend, you go up, you come up over a little dip, maybe. It's a straight stretch of roadway, but you come up over a little dip. All of a sudden, there's a tractor pulling a piece of farm machinery right ahead of you there. Mm-hmm. So watch out for the orange triangle outlined in red. That means farmers are at work on the road and slow down. That's the advice from the Butler County Farm Bureau. And they're calling a special attention to it next week, Rural Roads Safety Week. Let's talk a little bit, William Teely, about the Butler County Farm Bureau. What is it? How big are you?
Farm Bureau in Butler County, we have about 500 or so members, regular members. There's regular members and associate members. Regular members have voting power, I believe it is. And regular members are your farmers, landowners, agribusiness people, and associate members. Those are non-agriculture-related people. Mm-hmm. As far as what else Farm Bureau does, Farm Bureau is a lobbying organization for the things that we need to get accomplished, that we farmers need things done legislatively that can help us, and Farm Bureau is the, I guess, the vehicle behind getting the legislators and telling them what we farmers need to in order to succeed.
Mm-hmm. And farmers band together. Can make their voice heard more readily in Harrisburg if you have mm-hmm. a group of you that's, you know, staking a position. Some of our listeners might be surprised at the size. 500 members, you know, a lot of folks think there aren't that many farms and farmers left in Butler County. Obviously not true, Guy.
One of our, probably our biggest industry in the county is agriculture. And we are actually, at the county level, we are also associated with the state, and the state is associated with the National Farm Bureau. Mm-hmm. So the voice gets bigger and bigger, you know. And a lot of times questions originate. I've seen things come across policy, such as licensing of trucks for farm use and for weight limits and that sort of thing. Different. It was just one went through, just what we've just been talking about, width of vehicles and allowable width of equipment on the road. And it actually, I think, took us from 16 to 18 feet, if mm-hmm. I remember,
yep.
because just as we said, everything's growing, the machinery's mm-hmm. getting bigger. And there are different things that we have seen discussed and worked with. Migrant labor is another one that is one of the National Farm Bureau hot topics right now. And as far as making migrant laborers legal, you know, and so it begins here at the county level, but we are part of a state and also national voice.
Yeah, from what I understand, the farming industry, especially in states like California, some of the southern states where there's a lot of produce to pick, they rely heavily on migrant workers.
Yes. Yeah, very much so.
Migrant employees. We're chatting. We need to take a quick break here. We're chatting for a while today with William Teely and Guy Dobinspeck. They're both board members, by the way, of the Butler County Farm Bureau. And it's nice to have them here on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, where the pre-Easter sale is underway. And as Jimmy Ciprian told me at Miller's Shoes, hop on in for the pre-Easter sale. Hop on in, just like Peter Rabbit. Here's the deal. 20% off shoes, boots, and slippers right now. The entire regular stock. 20% off at Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street. This is where folks and families have been shopping for over 126 years. You'll find well-known brand-name shoes there, shoes that are going to last. Trotters, ladies know that name. Athletic shoes, tennis shoes, the entire stock of men's, women's, youth, Kids, tennis shoes 20% off right now. And Miller's has the biggest selection in the area. They've got all your famous name brands all there under one roof. Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, ProPath. They got them all. Miller's. They're also your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes. Have you tried these shoes? They're like bedroom slippers. They are so comfortable. They come in a variety of different styles and colors for men and women. SAS, they make sandals too. And they're made in America. The entire stock of men's and women's SAS shoes are 15% off. During the pre-Easter sale, it's going on right now at Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. We'll be back to talk more with our guests, with William and Guy, right after this. Join the Butler County Symphony for the season finale and a special Sunday matinee concert this Sunday, April 14th. The concert is entitled Fire and Water. Hear selections from Stravinsky, Mahler, and Debussy. Concert begins at 3 p.m. Butler Intermediate High School. Following the concert, you're invited to celebrate 70 years of the Butler Symphony. Tickets available at the Symphony office on the Diamond, downtown Butler, or online at butlersymphony.org. It's the season finale of the Butler Symphony this Sunday, 3 p.m. at Butler Intermediate High School Auditorium. Welcome back, friends. We're chatting on this segment of It's Your Turn here today with two board members of the Butler County Farm Bureau. With us here in the studio are Guy Dobbinspeck and William Teeley, both farmers. There are some things that the Butler County Farm Bureau does locally, Guy. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I can. We have a scholarship program that is available to college students or even technical school students who are direct descendants, either children or grandchildren of Farm Bureau members, and we usually will award a couple or three scholarships every spring. We will take applications in May and award them in June. Another thing that we do is part of a program, again, this is one that we work at the county level, but it's also statewide and nationwide, and that's we're affiliated with the Ronald McDonald House. There's one in Pittsburgh, and basically what they do is they help out people who have children who are patients, like at Children's Hospital and so on. And Ronald McDonald House is a kind of a residence where they can stay so they don't have to travel back to a home that may be some distance away while their child is under treatment. And we provide some things like a lot of non-perishable items, some food, some things like soap and, you know, toothpaste, that kind of thing. And we will collect a lot of our members will do it through their churches and so on. And we had our annual spring meeting a week ago last evening, and that was all collected and delivered to Ronald McDonald House in Pittsburgh. And it's just some of the things that we do at the local level. We're not necessarily all just here to benefit ourselves. We try and reach out to community and do some things to help the community too.
We're talking about farmers at work slowing down. We call attention to that next week, especially during Rural Roads Safety Week. But as William said, this is the time of the year when you're going to see a lot of farm vehicles on the road all of a sudden, because this is plowing and planting time, right?
Exactly, yeah. Springtime is a very, very busy time for farmers, especially this month and the next. There will be planters all on the road. There will be plows. They're just big equipment that they need to, like we've discussed before, that need to get to the fields that aren't readily close to them. That they need to travel on highways to get to them, and just tell people to be patient and slow down. I personally haven't, but I've gotten some people to wave to me with one finger, and we all can guess which finger that is. So just stuff like that sometimes kind of just irks us a little bit that people would act like that. But we have a job to do, too. We need to be places just like everybody else does, and it just happens to be that the vehicle we're in goes a lot slower than theirs does. So we're just telling people to be patient.
Some people might not realize, if you've never driven a tractor, I have, because I worked for a while in the summers on a golf course. They can't go real fast. They're geared down for heavy-duty work, for pulling, for power. And if you get out on even a country road and you try to go too fast with a tractor, at least this was always my experience, and I drove several different ones, they start to bounce on you. I don't know whether that's the appropriate description. No, William is shaking his head here, but that's what happens. I drove several different kinds, and you have to be very careful because they actually start bouncing up and down.
Yeah, I was just in a tractor the other day going down the road, and I was bouncing like a basketball. And
yeah.
Sometimes, depending on what you're pulling, like I know for some reason whenever I pull the round baler behind me, that thing likes to bounce like a basketball, and I start bouncing, and I think I have to slow down or else I'm going to hit my head off the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I have to slow down for that, and plus if there's any potholes or anything like that, you need to slow down for that, and so, yeah, it's different all the way around.
That's another reason why much of this farm equipment is going slowly. Now, I'm sure most drivers have seen farmers with a tractor pulling something kind of pull off to the side of the road to let people go by, to let people pass, or to give them a better view of the road up ahead. If you can do that, fine. But, guy, especially this time of the year with soft shoulders and everything, you can't do that all the time.
Yeah, well, you want to be a little bit careful.
Yeah.
You know, well, most of the guys I know, I've been associated with selling farm seed in Butler County for about 32 or 33 years, and most of the guys I know are not so hard-nosed that they'll make people wait behind them, but bear in mind that sometimes we have to find a spot that we can get off to the side in order to give you room enough to get by. And again, remember that, you know, if you're in a car or a pickup and that's the biggest vehicle you ever drive, remember that, you know, we are aware of what we are pulling, and we would like you to know that we will give you a wide berth to pass as soon as we have room to get out of your way.
Mm-hmm. Be careful at dusk, too. That was the closest call I ever came once. I was driving on 488 out in the Prospect area, which is a road that has a lot of dips and curves and everything else. And I was coming back from Pittsburgh, I think, but it was dusk. And visibility is not so great. And I came around a curve, and there was a tractor and hay wagon or something in front of me. Be careful at dark. The reason that you might find farmers out at dusk when it's getting dark is, William, try to get as much work as you can while there's still daylight, right?
Exactly, yeah, especially if it's going to rain the next day and mm-hmm. you got to get that seed in the ground, or you got to get the fertilizer spread, or you got to get the hay baled or whatever you're doing. And because we farmers sometimes we push things a little bit. We sometimes bite off more than we can chew, and, you know, just trying to get things done, trying to hurry, just like everybody else is nowadays. So that's just the way the world works now.
Speaking of rain, last spring we had, once it started to rain, it just never stopped all through the spring, all through the fall, all through the summer, even into the fall. Not so much this year. In fact, it's pretty dry right now, isn't
it? Yeah, I was no-tilling yesterday. I was spreading manure yesterday. I mean, everybody else was too. So I'm sure yesterday was a high traffic day for farmers, since they were busy spreading fertilizer or planting or plowing or whatever they were doing. But so far this year looks slightly better than last year as far as rainfall. Hopefully this year is just a little bit drier than last year was.
A little bit of dust flying when you get it as dry
exactly,
as it is
yeah.
right now. On the other hand, guy, you get too much rain and you can't even get into the fields.
Yep.
It's too muddy. It's too sloppy. You can't plow. You can't get equipment in there.
Right. We dealt with a lot of that last year. This year, so far, is much better.
Let's talk a little bit about these gentlemen's farms. I'm always interested in interviewing farmers. As Guy said, it remains one of the big industries here in Butler County, and you don't have to go very far outside of cities or towns to find some farms here in Butler County. Guy Dobbins-Beck, where's your farm?
We're in Conoconusing Township, right off of Route 68, about, I guess, 6 or 7 miles from the center of town here.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of an operation do you have?
We formerly were a dairy. We are now beef, running about 80 head total. That's about 30 mama cows and their calves, and some of last year's calves coming on, which will be processed eventually here probably in the next 18 months or so for beef.
When's calving season, or can that be any time during the year?
Well, ours is right now. It all depends on when people introduce the bull into the herd. We like to start about the end of June or somewhere around the end of June up to about the 4th of July, and that means that 9 months later when we start to have calves there, we hope anyway, coming on green grass. Mm-hmm. We calve a little later than some people, but calving in nice weather and good weather like today is a lot easier on the calves and the cattle than calving in the snow.
So the gestation period for calves is about the same as for humans, about 9 months.
Just about.
So you started out dairy, but now you're all a beef operation.
We're all beef, yeah. Mm-hmm. Beef and crops.
This is a family farm, Guy Dobenspeck, that goes back generations, right?
Yeah. I'm fifth generation.
Fifth generation?
Yes.
That's pretty amazing, but I happen to know that William Teeley can beat that
generation. Yes, he can.
Huh? Yeah, my farm, we just celebrated 150 years last year, started in 1868. My brother and I are the sixth generation, and we've been dairy the whole time. We used to do chickens until up to the 80s. I'm sure Guy remembers my grandfather and his brother doing eggs and everything like that. But I have no experience with eggs because they quit that before I was ever born. So, we farm about 300 acres. We milk about 40 head. We're right along 356, right beside Penn United. That's the big yellow building, almost into Saxonburg. Our address is Cabot, but we're close to Saxonburg. But I'm sure a lot of people out there have driven by our place since we're on 356. That is a heavily traveled highway, and a lot of people.
Your barn is very visible from 356.
Yeah, everything's fairly visible. We're fairly open. So whenever I tell people, oh, we're on 356, oh, yeah, I've been past there. I know exactly where you're at. So it's not hard for people to find us.
Do you have a big farm?
I wouldn't call it big. We're probably average size. For around here, it's average. I mean, I know a lot of farms that are a lot bigger that milk a lot more cows or farm a lot more acres, have a lot more head of cattle. But I'd say we're small. So,
do farms around here, you two in particular, are you large enough to grow your own feed, or do you have to buy that?
We grow our own feed. We actually grow enough that we can afford to sell some, whether it's hay or grain or straw or anything like that. So we definitely grow enough to sell some afterwards, after we feed most of it, and then we can sell some.
What about you, Guy?
Well, pretty much. We can grow enough to keep the cattle going, and then we also are in a custom ground feed business. We grind livestock feed for, quite a few neighbors, home poultry flocks and so on, and we generally ended up having to buy some grain to support that. Generally, we have the corn, usually small grain, oats and wheat, that we sometimes have to buy in.
Anybody still growing buckwheat around here?
Northern part of the county, yes. Mm-hmm. There's a few guys up there growing some. We have a feed mill up there, northern end of the county there in West Sunbury, that they have some farmers growing buckwheat, and they process it into flour for human use.
We were talking about that before we went on the air today, about buckwheat cakes and how some folks really like them. They taste different than ordinary pancakes, don't they, Guy?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're good. It's an acquired taste, but they're good. Once you try it, you'll eat them again.
When I was a kid, there was a we didn't actually live on a farm, but we were on the edge of a very small town, and there was a farm adjacent to our property, so he went out to the back. There was a little stretch of woods, and then there was the Gallagher farm, and a huge field right there, gargantuan field, and it was planted in buckwheat. I can remember that as a kid. You know, you could actually smell it when you were walking through the field. It was very aromatic.
Butler at one point, and I can't tell you the exact year, but was known as the Buckwheat County. Because of a late frost that killed off most all the small grain and the corn one year. And I don't even remember when it was, but buckwheat is something you plant late. It's planted like early July, and the farmers went in and planted buckwheat, and that kind of rescued. It's somewhat like the potato famine in Ireland. You know, it kind of rescued. They planted the buckwheat, and it kind of rescued folks that year.
So it must be very fast germinating and growing then, huh, if you don't put it in the ground until July.
Yeah, and usually they try and harvest around Halloween time.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that we were still harvesting that late. Of course, field corn, right, for sure.
Field corn, yeah.
You could probably still harvest that in November, I suppose.
I could probably take you over the county and show you a few places where there's field corn to be harvested yet because of the wet conditions last fall.
Couldn't get in to do it, huh?
Yeah.
Is it still usable? Can you still make silage out of it?
Well, it'd be too late for silage. It'd be too dry, provided the grain has not molded inside the husks. It could still be used for, you know, for dry feed.
Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say this is the busiest time of the year for farmers, or no?
Yeah, I would say it would be, especially next month, especially with dairy, where around middle of May towards Memorial Day is when dairy, especially, we're trying to chop haylage and plant corn and plant soybeans all at the same time, and that can get very, very hectic at times. And I would say that May is the busiest month by far, at least for dairy farmers. Now, for everybody else that's planting grain like corn and soybeans, yeah, it's still going to be busy, but especially for dairy in the month of May.
Our farmers are very busy, folks. They're on the cusp of the busiest time of the year. You're going to find farm equipment on the road, throughout the warm weather season, but especially over the next month or so. Be careful. That's the message, right, William Teeley?
Exactly.
Be careful. When you see that triangular sign on the back of a tractor or the back of a hay wagon or a combine guy, slow down.
Exactly.
Don't wait. Don't try to figure out how slow they're. Slow down right away because you're going to overtake that vehicle in very short order.
Probably save us all some hassle if you slow down.
Yeah. That's the international marker for slow-moving equipment. It's an orange triangle that's outlined in red. And we especially call attention to it next week during Rural Roads Safety Week. Well, it's been nice to talk with a couple of farmers, both board members, by the way, of the Butler County Farm Bureau. We thank Guy Dobenspeck and William Teeley for chatting in today. Nice to see you guys. Nice to talk
thank
with you.
Thank you. Yeah,
nice
appreciate
to see
the
you
time.
Too.
Nice to have you here. All righty, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what's happening at the Butler County Family YMCA, the Y. Back with more right after these messages.
Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler can answer your questions about cremation. Is it appropriate for your loved ones? Should there be a funeral service? Keep in mind that even with cremation, it is time to celebrate how meaningful and important was the life of your loved one. Is cremation appropriate for your family? How would they feel about it? And what's the cost? Cremation has three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. The Thompson Miller Cremation Program is right here in Butler at our newly created facility. We assure you that your loved one will never leave our care at any point in the process. So let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller in Butler. Call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller, at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Time for a checkup for your pet? We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
Mm-hmm.
friends. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. We're getting our next guests into the studio and getting everybody mic'd up here. I think we're ready to go. We say hello to a friend of long standing here. Sandy Eilenfeld is with us.
David, Sandy, it is so good to be with you today. I always smile when I come into WISR. Good friends, long term.
Yeah, long term indeed. Sandy Eilenfeld is the executive director of the Butler County Family YMCA. We want to get an update on what's going on at the Y, and also talk about an event, an annual event that's coming up next week.
Yes, yeah, so just a quick update about the Y. You know, it's interesting to me when I think about our history, 130 years in Butler County. How many people, how many businesses can actually hold to that truth?
Not many.
In our third building, we're in the process of doing a whole lot of renovations, continuous, just as far as mechanicals and pools and things like that, just so that we might be able to serve the community better. Our membership still provides financial assistance for those folks that can't have a Y membership because of financial reasons, and I think that's still my favorite reason for working at the Y. We just help people, Dave, mm-hmm. and we've been doing it a long time, and every year I think we just do a little bit better job at it.
The annual Good Friday breakfast will be coming up a week from today, and we're pleased to have the speaker for the Good Friday breakfast here with us today. Why don't you introduce me, Sandy, because I've not met Nick here.
So Nick is a new friend of the YMCA, Nick Cecilia. He is our membership director at our sister branch from the Butler YMCA, the Rose E. Schneider Family YMCA in Cranberry Township. Nick is also a youth pastor and was on the committee for the Good Friday breakfast. And we were talking about speakers, and of course, his name came up, and we're like, that's a great idea. So he didn't run when we invited him. I'm pretty excited about that, so I'm really excited to hear his message.
I want to make sure I'm pronouncing the last name correctly, Nick. Cecilia, is that right?
Cecilia, actually Cecilia. It's kind of hard to pronounce. A lot of people will say salsa, but I have red hair and I'm pale. It doesn't really work.
Cecilia.
Yeah, you got
okay.
it.
Terrific, terrific. How long have you been a youth pastor?
So I've actually been in ministry for about 10 years. And I was originally at a church called Grace Community Church in Cranberry. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Loved ministry. I love students. I love working just with kids. You know, I think we can all relate to middle schoolers, especially because we're all products of our middle school selves. But yeah, so I did it for about 10 years, and now I'm working at the YMCA on month four, which is great.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to speak about a week from today at the Good Friday breakfast?
You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious that since it's a Good Friday breakfast, we're talking about Jesus' death and resurrection, right? And I really want to focus on the part whenever he comes back after he dies and starts talking to the disciples. It's the command that he gives to everybody that are followers of him to continue to love people, to continue to love him. And so my goal really is just to reflect back on what Jesus said 2,000 years ago to us, to love everybody around us regardless of how we feel and regardless of how we may think about them.
The greatest commandment, huh?
Yeah, the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Second one is love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that comes from, that's in several of the Gospels, I
yes.
believe. One of the things that Jesus was talking about during his ministry.
Yeah.
His ministry years, which only lasted about 3 years. We forget that, don't we?
Mm. Yeah, and it's interesting because even at the end of John, John writes there, if I could fill the entire world with all of the stories of Jesus, if I could fill a book, I don't think the world could contain any of the amount that Jesus did on this earth, and yet it was done in three and a half years. That's wild to think about.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch any of the movies or the TV shows about the life of Christ?
Oh, yeah. Passion of the Christ, when I was a kid, I used to watch it. Loved it. Scared the daylights out of me when I saw Satan. Couldn't sleep at night.
Was that the Mel Gibson film?
Yeah, Mel Gibson rendition. Yeah. And I think he's coming out with another one in the next several years from what I hear. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, there have been a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows. There's been something on, I think it's the History Channel, I'm not sure, for the past couple of weeks, apparently leading up to Easter time.
I saw it advertised, but I have not seen it either.
I'm not a big fan of the History Channel, to be honest with you. I don't like those fake-o, you know, reproductions. If they just tell me the story.
Yes.
Instead of dressing people up to, you know, look like Moses or somebody, and it, you know, it's obviously acting. I don't know.
And they all have British accents, even though it's in the Middle East.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe they feel they have to do that to keep people's attention.
Yeah, that's probably part of it.
Well, So how do you keep people's attention whenever you're giving a talk like this?
Oh, man. I like the idea of personal story. I think we can all relate to stories. And I am a little bit more of a humorous person, like to use funny stories to connect to real truths, maybe even hard truths. And so, you know, the biggest thing I really try to do whenever I'm speaking in general to a crowd of, you know, 20 middle schoolers or, you know, 2,000 people is try to relate to them and get on their level where I'm at, where they're at, and maybe find a connection there. Because we're all broken. If we can admit that through humor, then there's a lot more opportunity for people to be open about, you know, where they're at and maybe even open to changing.
There's something new about the annual Good Friday Breakfast at the YMCA here in Butler this year. There's a new time.
So this is our 69th year. So if you think about that, the building that everyone recognizes as the YMCA on Washington Street is 50 years old. So we have been consistently having the Good Friday Breakfast for older than that building even is. So it's our 69th year. As a committee, we looked at the time of a 7 a.m. start, and we recognized that's really hard for families. It may be hard for seniors that are just moving a little bit slower. And for the general population, an 8 a.m. start time would be just a tiny bit more convenient. Mm-hmm. So we changed the time to a start of 8 a.m.
And families are certainly welcome. That's a day off school for everybody.
Yes. So. We're hopeful that we have complete families. And in the past, we have had all ages, which is so great for a Y. Yeah.
Are tickets still available?
Tickets are still available. They'll even be available at the door. We have not changed the price for many years, so it's $5. It includes a complete breakfast and a really amazing speaker.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The breakfast alone or the talk alone would be worth the price.
It would.
But both
yes.
for $5?
Yes.
That's the adult tickets. For kids, it's,
yes.
what, $2?
$2.
Mm-hmm. And, wow, it's a good deal. This draws a big crowd. It always has.
It always has. So we set up for 350, and we always have more than 200. And there aren't as many places offering Good Friday breakfast as there used to be, so we're one of the fewer now. And we still hold true that that's just important for us as a YMCA.
I had never experienced this before I came to Butler many, many years ago. First of all, I came from a small town, and then I was away at school. And I can remember when I first came to Butler, the radio station at that time, as you know, Sandy, was downtown, about 100 yards from the YMCA. It was very, very close. And I was surprised about a Good Friday breakfast. I'd never heard of this before. And then I realized what a long tradition it had been.
Yes. So just for the listeners out there, my first job out of high school was at WISR. And I can remember also going to the Good Friday breakfast about the same time. And I was probably 18. Mm-hmm. So that's a long time ago. Yeah.
All you had to do was walk across the street.
Very right. One block away.
Where we were before.
Great memories.
Nick Sasala, where are you from? Were you from this area originally, or did you move here? Are you an immigrant? Where'd you come from?
Native to Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania, so
okay.
About 30 minutes. Yeah. Grew up around here. My wife and I live in Zeelanopal, which has brought us a little bit closer to the Butler, a little bit of an in-between between mm-hmm. Rosie Schneider YMCA and Cranberry and the Butler YMCA, which has been really cool to be able to come down and visit our sister branch a little bit more and get more involved with people like Sandy and Heidi over at the membership desk, you know. So, yeah, that's where me and my wife have both grown up in Cranberry, and we've lived here our whole lives.
So are you a product of the Seneca Valley School District?
Interesting. In the school district, right, but I was actually homeschooled and then for a period of time cyber-schooled. Then I went out to West Beaver to Lincoln Park Performing Arts School.
Oh, yes.
Finished off there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with that. I haven't talked to too many people who went to school there, though.
Yeah, it was about 10 years ago, so 2009. It's changed a lot for sure, but if you're into music, arts, all that kind of stuff.
Big for that, yeah.
Yeah. It's wild.
Big for music, arts, high school musicals, and sports.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking with Sandy Eilenfeld, who's the executive director of the Butler County Family YMCA, and Nick Sasala, who will be the speaker. He also is a program director at the Rosie Schneider Y in Cranberry. But he'll be the speaker for the Good Friday Breakfast coming up. A week from today, next Friday.
From today, yeah.
It takes place, by the way, at the Y.
At the YMCA,
yeah.
Correct.
In case we didn't say that. So the why goes back, I was taking notes, Sandy, earlier. Did you say 130 years?
Is actually, right? 133.
133 years?
Mm-hmm. We are in our third building.
Now, I know that before the present building,
yes,
you were at a building on South McCain Street, which mm-hmm. is now the Cubs Hall.
That's correct.
That was the why when I was a little boy, I can remember, mm-hmm. because that was one of the few places where you could go swimming in the wintertime.
Still can.
Way back when. So do you know where the why was before
it
that?
It was on the diamond. It was on the diamond.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Building's still there?
Building is still there.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, there's a number of attorney offices in there at this point.
Okay, so yes. That would be in that area right behind where the symphony offices are?
Right, exactly right? Behind. Yes, that's the building.
I had no idea that's where the Y originally was.
If you look at the building, the logo of the Y is still on the building.
I'll look the next time I'm there.
Yes, yeah. Little history lesson.
Do you know who, I don't know whether there's histories at the Y nowadays or not. Do you know how it got started? You know, was there a movement locally to bring a Y to Butler?
Well, the YMCA actually got started in London, and then it moved to Boston. And then from Boston, it was then moved throughout the United States, and we were one of the earlier charters. The YMCA was originally, obviously, for men. There were always places to lodge, and we worked on healthy living opportunities, which introduced things like weight training before there was really weight training, and it was mainly for alcoholics. So men that were having problems, social problems or problems with alcoholism, were just given pastimes that included physical activity and then Bible lessons. And the two things combined, they slept there and they had lots of different responsibilities and activities. And that's where we actually got our start. And there's a number of YMCAs that still have, in larger cities, that still have lodging places that is right in their Y. Cubs Hall also had that.
We'll take a break. I'll come back and talk more about what's going on at the Y and also more about the Good Friday breakfast. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They package your items for shipping. Very convenient. Extremely convenient. You just take your items there. They package them up. You don't have to worry about finding the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels or, you know, that special tape you need, that sealing tape. They do it all for you. And you can ship any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, your choice. They also have other services available at Gone Postal Butler. Copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox. They even have an official notary there. They're located in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. It's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. Newcastle Road here in Butler. Call them. You get more info. 724-841-0044. They're open Monday through Friday. Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
There were lots of famous duels in history, but ours involves pianos, not pistols. Connecting to Tomorrow presents Piano Maniacs, dueling piano show on Saturday, April 13th at the Lindora Legion. Tickets are $20 each and can be purchased at the door, Butler Radio Network, or online at Eventbrite. Doors open at 6 and the fun starts at 7. It's BYOB, must be 21 or older, and food will be available. Proceeds benefit C2T's teen mentoring program. So come join the fun on Saturday, April 13th for our Dueling Pianos event.
Welcome back, folks. Talking with Sandy Eilenfeld, the executive director of the Butler County Family YMCA. Also with us is Nick Cicela, who's a program director at the Rosie Schneider Y in Cranberry. Nick will also be the speaker for the Good Friday breakfast at the Y here in Butler next Friday, a week from today.
That's right.
It's a Good Friday, which is very late this year.
It is late this year.
Easter is... I was going to look this up. I think it's as late as it possibly can be.
Mm.
You know, Easter is determined by the, there's this complex formula. It's the Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. And the full moon and the spring equinox back on March 20th were almost the same day. So, well, it's about as late as we can be this year. I don't know, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because you have a better chance of getting warm weather.
Yes.
I think it's always nice to...
Outside Easter egg hunts,
yeah.
Yes.
Going to church, you know, whether it's on Easter Sunday itself or, you know, so many denominations have extra services for Holy Week. It's nice to have warm weather for that,
absolutely.
You know.
Easter outfits.
Mm-hmm. And daylight, a little bit longer than we have it back in the wintertime. So when you're getting ready to give a talk like this, Nick, where do you start? Do you have an outline? Do you sit down? Are there guidebooks that help you in a situation like this? How did you do it?
So I've been speaking, I started obviously speaking with students, especially in fifth grade, sixth grade, kind of cut my teeth there, right? And I've been doing it for about 8 years out of the 10 that I've been a youth pastor, which is great. So, you know, whenever the process has changed over the years, but the biggest thing for me is I have to have the end in mind, right? I want to know what I'm trying to get across. Whenever the audience leaves, the first thing I want them to think of, or the only thing I want them to remember, is the actual content that I'm trying to. So I start there, right? You know, it, really at the end of the day, it takes about 6 to 8 hours to create a message that'll be about 20 to 30 minutes long. It's really good to put extra time into it. So my process is really just a simple, what do I want to be said? How do I want it to be interpreted? And then I can, you know, go back into my childhood, into my past, and think of stories, even if they're silly and whimsical, in order to get to that place, to open it up. And, you know, that's kind of how the process that is that I work. You know, obviously when I'm speaking to a Christian crowd, including a lot of, you know, scripture references. But yeah, the process sometimes can be grueling, and not going to lie, sometimes it can be a lot of time, you know, spending on hours and hours just working on a message.
This is a day, Good Friday, that all Christian denominations share. So everybody has something in common when we're talking about this. We've had, for the past couple of years anyway, here in the Butler area, some ecumenical Lenten services. Mm. They've been Wednesday nights during Lent. And it's been a real eye-opener. It's been great to go around to the different churches downtown. You know, there's about 7 or 8 churches in the central part of Butler. They're all within 2 blocks of each other. And it's been a nice program because they take turns hosting. You know, each week you go to a different church and it's a different pastor.
Oh, that's awesome.
From, you know, it's been a very, very nice program. But, again, all sharing the same thoughts.
Absolutely.
As you get ready for Easter and get ready for Good Friday.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think there's something really great about the unification of churches, too. Sandy and I were even talking about this. Sandy, didn't you have a number of how many churches are actually in the Butler area?
Yeah, so I wanted to send an invitation as the new executive director of the Butler YMCA to city churches, just inviting them to the Good Friday breakfast. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, how many do I think is going to be on that list? And I thought 20. And our executive administration secretary came up with a list of 66. Now, I would have never guessed that. Would you have guessed that?
I wouldn't have guessed that high.
66.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm like, that's great. Let's just send them a letter and an invitation. So,
I might have guessed a little more than 20, but I would never have guessed 66.
Yeah. Nick thought 10 and I thought 20, and you were a little bit more than that, but yeah.
Well, I'm always kind of a middle ground guy.
Middle ground.
I try to be. What else is happening at the Y? I did a program a couple of weeks back about the Blue Zones, something I'd never even heard of before. I thought it was kind of like the Blue Lagoon or something like that. But that's an interesting program.
It was an interesting talk. It was full to capacity. Blue Zones are basically areas that have been determined in the world that have healthier living, longer life expectations than other places, and then why. The research was why, and it came down to the foods they eat, the amount of sleep they get, the stress that they have, et cetera. And so it was a talk on combining all those different areas, what do they have in common, and what can we learn from them. Mm-hmm. And it came down to just the most basic things that we all know, but we don't think about. So everybody's looking for the quick fix. I'm going to go on a diet, or I'm going to take a pill. And so really, it's the healthy lifestyle that's mm-hmm. going to pay the most forward, the most natural sources of food, at least 7 hours of sleep, trying to manage your medication so that you're taking the most minimal amount and they have been checked so that they're not duplicating one another. They're all basics, but in a busy world, we just stop to think about how can I really take the best care of myself? Mm-hmm. So it's a great, great conversation.
Henry Sinopoli was here to talk about it. We had some folks from the Y. And the Y is emphasizing this, too. They want people to realize that it's not just a place to go and use the exercise machine.
So often we think about the Y as a gym. And so we actually have a tagline that we use often that we're so much more than that, mm-hmm. right? So we come under healthy living, which would be that part, but youth development. Just think of all the areas that we develop youth. But the other part of that is social responsibility. So we recognize that in the community, we hold a piece. We are a player. And because of that, we want to make sure that the things that we offer really do line up with the demographics. What does the community need right now? Mm. So just as one example, we have partnered with Butler County Community College and Centers for Community Resources for Hope is Dope, which is basically for the opioid epidemic. Mm-hmm. And we are working with those people that are really trying to move to a better lifestyle. So I'm excited always at the Y because we're just so much more than people realize.
And there's the Reach and Rise program.
Reach yes. and Rise. So Reach and Rise was something that started from a dream from Sandy originally. We had the Big Brothers Big Sisters program for more than 20 years. Wonderful program, youth mentoring. But through the years, we recognized that we had less and less mentors wanting to come forward. And part of that was the one-to-one concern. So just as far as the risk associated on both sides. And so I started to research what might be evidence-based. So evidence-based means that it's been proven to work. What would be an evidence-based program that might work in a different environment, such as a group environment? So through the research, I came up with the program Reach and Rise, which is actually a YMCA program started in San Francisco. It's been around for many years. We implemented it 1 year ago. It has really taken off. We're getting ready to start 4 mentoring groups. Each group has 6 youth and 2 adults, 2 adult mentors that have also been trained with curriculum, evidence-based. The school districts are doing the referrals into the program. It's just really exceeded even my expectations, which were pretty high.
I heard Nick murmuring approval whenever we mentioned this. Obviously, you're familiar with the program as well.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting because when I first came on in January, I'd heard of Big Brothers and Big Sisters, but whenever I was talking with, I think Rachel at that time was overseeing Reach and Rise. It's something that's really near and dear to my heart. You know, I think as you know, teenagers really need role models around them, people that can just give back to them and love them where they're at. I think we all can point back to someone in our life, whether it's a family member, grandparent, friend, or just somebody, maybe even an adult at church, that has actually, you know, made us into or given a piece of who we are today. And so the whole program as a whole is a pretty incredible program. And I love what it's actually doing. And there was a guy that came in, I don't know if I told you this, Sandy, there was a guy that came in at Cranberry who's mentoring in Reach and Rise, and he was just raving about it to our membership staff.
That's beautiful.
And I had yet to hear, you know, much up at the Cranberry Way, because it's starting to make its way up toward us as well. Mm-hmm. But it was just showing the vision behind why we're doing Reach and Rise is actually to benefit and to help the community, because we're way more than that. We're not just a fitness gym. Yeah. You know, we're a place where everybody can belong, you know, and that's what we always try to do. So I think Reach and Rise does a lot to accomplish that mission.
It does.
Nick Sasala will be the speaker 1 week from today, next Friday, the Good Friday Breakfast, 69th annual YMCA Good Friday Breakfast here in Butler. There are still tickets available, $5 for adults, $2 for youth. And that'll be at a new time.
New time, 8 a.m., starting at 8 a.m. this year.
Also with us chatting, Sandy Eilenfeld, the executive director of the Y. Nice to see you both. Nice to have
Thanks
you
for having
Thanks
us,
for having
Dave.
Us here. It's been an honor.
Great.
Coming up on the Monday program, among other things, who wants to think about Monday on Friday afternoon, right? Well, please join us if you can. We're going to be talking about depression in the spring. Now, a lot of folks think of, and I would be in this category, I love the spring. I love watching nature awaken. I feel like I awaken. For some folks, it's a time that they get depressed. And we'll talk with some folks from Butler Memorial Hospital about that. We have some other treats for you on Monday as well. Program note, tonight, Penguin hockey here on WISR. The Pens are in New York. They're down a game to the Isles. They got to win tonight. We'll have all the action live radio play-by-play here on WISR. Airtime 7 o'clock tonight from New York for Penguin hockey on WISR. Enjoy your weekend. I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll see you on Monday.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.